You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning. It's so good to be here. It is my absolute privilege to share the word with you this morning out of Numbers 13. Remember the promise. Sounds pretty exciting. It's good. So I was looking at Instagram this week, as we do, and there was a story there about this family, and they wanted to get the dad a dog, and they're like, "Dad, we promise it'll be like the best thing ever. You're gonna love it." But you know, he kept coming up with all these obstacles, like, "We're gonna have to feed it. We're gonna have to look after it. You know, it's gonna leave hair everywhere. What do we do when we go on holidays?" You know, all the reasons that you shouldn't get a dog. But you know what they did was they went ahead and got one anyway, as you do. And, you know, as it turned out, it became his absolute best friend. You know, take it fishing. You know, it sleeps on your chair and watches the footy with you. That's the best kind of dog. So, you know, he just had to remember the promise that his family gave him. So this morning we're reading from Numbers chapter 13, and we pick up this account of the Israelites. You know, at this point, they've been miraculously delivered from Egypt. You know, they've seen firsthand the power of God on their lives, on their whole nation. And they're on their way to walk into the promise that God has given them, a promised land. So in verse 1, it says, God spoke to Moses, "Send men to scout out the country of Canaan that I am giving to the people of Israel." So notice that it's a gift. You know, this land is something that God, he's saying, I'm giving it to you. You know, it's already done. God's given them the promise, and now he's bringing revelation in that. Go and scout it out. Go and have a look. I want to show you some things about what you're about to walk into. So down in verse 17, it says, "When Moses sent them off to scout out Canaan, he said, 'Go up through the Negev and then into the hill country. Look the land over. See what it is like. Assess the people. Are they strong or are they weak? Are they few or many? Observe the land. Is it pleasant or harsh? Describe the towns where they live. Are they open camps or fortified with walls? And the soil, is it fertile or barren? Are there forests? And try to bring back a sample of the produce that grows there. This is the season for the first ripe grapes.'" You know, the fact that they're to go there and take some grapes, you know, that speaks of boldness. You know, going into a foreign country and stealing a few grapes doesn't sound like something you would do if you were a bit hesitant about where you were going. You know, this scouting that they're going on, they're full of faith, they're full of expectation. You know, God's given them a promise and, you know, they're excited, they're ready to walk in it. And, you know, when God starts to reveal things of the promise, sometimes he'll give us a sample of what it's like. You know, they got a sample of all the good things that God was going to give to them. But we continue to read. It says, "When they arrived at the Eshol Valley, they cut off a branch with a single cluster of grapes. It took two men to carry it." Now, they're big grapes. "They also picked some pomegranates and figs. And after 40 days of scouting out the land, they returned home. They presented themselves before Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the people of Israel. And they reported to them and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told the story of their trip." You know, when you come home from a trip, you're excited to tell everyone about everything that you saw. "We went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it does flow with milk and honey. Just look at the fruit." You know, we had to carry it on a pole between two people. "But the only thing," you know, here's the moment here, "the only thing is that the people who live there are fierce. Their cities are huge and well fortified. Worse yet, we saw descendants of the giant Anak." But Caleb interrupted, called for silence before Moses and said, "Let's go up and take the land now. We can do it." You know, God's given us the promise. We can do it. "But the others replied, 'We can't attack those people. They're way stronger than we are, and they spread scary rumors among the people of Israel.'" So we see in this account that, God has promised the Israelites something. You know, the scripture said that God had given them the land. You know, something they could be bold about. You know, it was a promise. You know, they could put their faith and they could put their trust in God that he would deliver the land to them just like they'd seen him be faithful to them in the past. You know, think about where they'd come from, miraculously delivered out of Egypt, seeing the power of God firsthand. You know, this morning, ask yourself, what is it that God has promised to you? You know, this could be specific things. It could have even been something a long time ago that God promised to you and you're still waiting to see it happen. You know, it could be God revealing things to you about your future, what your next step is. Or it could be a promise from his word, something that he promises to each of believers. You know, a promise of identity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Could be the promise of the Holy Spirit, you know, our guide and our counselor. Could be the promise of salvation and grace, you know, walking in everything that Jesus has for us. The promise of the fruit of the Spirit, the promise of health, of wholeness, of supply, the promise of relationships and community in the body of believers. You know, God's word is full of promises for each of us. And they're for every believer. They're not just for some. You know, these promises are ours to step into. He's given them to each of us. But what happens sometimes, as we saw with the Israelites, is we've received the promise, but there can be a difference between our natural position and the promise that we're stepping into. What God has revealed to us supernaturally. You know, and in that there's a process, there's a journey that we have to go on to receive the promise, to walk in what God has promised to us. And we need to acknowledge this morning that this can be a challenging time. You know, it's not easy. You know, when you're in the middle, you've received the promise, but you're not there yet. That's not an easy time. But we have the grace and the power of God on our side to direct us, to lead us, to counsel us and empower us along the journey, along the process. So this morning, we focus on what do you do in the middle? You know, God's promised you something. You know, you might have caught a glimpse of the promise. He might have given you a sample. You've received revelation from God about where you're headed. But maybe you caught a glimpse of something else as well. You know, maybe there was a setback, a hurdle, something that needed to be overcome on the way. You know, maybe you perceive something that makes the promise seem impossible. You know, for some of us, this could look like disappointment. You know, this could look like drawing away from the things of God. And, you know, what do we see in this scripture that Moses asked the scouts to do? You know, they were to assess the people, describe the towns, look at the fertility, look at the produce. But what they did was they took particular notice of what they saw in the way of the promise. You know, they didn't believe and trust in God in the promise in the middle. They didn't allow God to process them in the middle. They didn't allow God to go on the journey with them in the middle. You know, they allowed themselves to become caught up and discouraged in fear in the middle. You know, for us, or for many of us, this year hasn't looked anything like what we thought it would. You know, have there been more setbacks than we might have expected? Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt about that. But can I encourage you this morning that it doesn't change the promises that God has for you? So what is it that we do when we have the promise? We have revelation from God, but in ourselves we can't process the steps to get there. You know, where there's a difference between our natural position and the supernatural promise that we're walking into. You know, some things to do and things to remember in the middle. The first is to remember the word that God gave to you. You know, God had promised the Israelites the land. He commanded Moses to send some men to scout it out, and the purpose of the trip was to point to God's goodness, to point to God's supply and his faithfulness. But somewhere in the middle, they forgot the promise. They forgot the word that God had given to them. You know, they even forgot about God's faithfulness to them in the past. You know, it's true that sometimes the promise can feel overwhelming. You know, the reality is most of the time when God promises you something, it's overwhelming because it goes beyond our natural ability. It goes beyond our natural expectations. You know, it may not make sense to you. How could this possibly ever happen? And, you know, I think the promised land would have seemed impossible to the Israelites. Like, did you hear there were giants? There were giants there. Seems pretty impossible. You know, when we get a glimpse of the promise, when we get a sample of the promise, what is it that draws your attention? You know, the scouts in Numbers 13 chose to look towards the challenges. They looked at the impossibilities, and they chose to believe what they could see, not what God was promising to them. You know, remember the promise. Remember God's faithfulness. You know, in the Bible, starting in Genesis 37, we see the story of Joseph. You know, God promises him through a dream that he'll be a leader. But almost straight away, his brothers sell him off as a slave. Like that's, you can't be any further from the promise when you've been sold as a slave, when you feel God calling you to be a leader. You know, and as his life continues, it's just setback after setback after setback. You know, everything seemed to be standing in the way of the promise, but, you know, he never forgot the promise that God had given to him. And he ended up being a vessel of God's faithfulness to an entire nation. You know, the promise even went beyond the dream. What God had for him was even more than the sample that he had been given. So in each of us, we can choose to believe and put our faith and our trust in God. Choose to remember the word that God gave to you, our God who's proven faithful to us in the past. You know, never underestimate the power of your testimony, remembering God's faithfulness for you, but the power of your testimony for others as well. Sharing God's faithfulness in every situation, even in the small things. Can I encourage you that even your small victories might seem like large obstacles for other people? So when we share the small victories, we can help people walk into the promises of God. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that God's word is truth. His promises are truth. And God's truth, it's an absolute. You know, we live in a world where we run from absolutes. You know, everything has to be in the middle ground. Everything has to be gray. There's no black and white, but God's word for you is truth. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You know, when the Holy Spirit reveals things to you, he's revealing truth. And I love the promise there that it says that he'll guide you into it as well. You know, they're not just words, they're not just thoughts, but there's a process. You know, God's word doesn't return void. God's word always hits its target. And, you know, I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Reveal the truth of the word that God gave to you. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. You know, when God's promises seem overwhelming, when we remember the word that he gave to us and it seems overwhelming, don't struggle to interpret it on your own. Because the truth is that you can't. You know, it's God who reveals these things to the Spirit and the Holy Spirit that allows us to process and understand and bring revelation. You know, allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation in the promise, in the word that God's given to you. You know, this is powerful. It's more powerful than words. It's more powerful than knowledge. You know, it builds an inner strength, a spiritual strength in you. You know, what does remembering the promise look like for us practically? You know, make it a part of your speech. Make it a part of your everyday speech. You know, write it in a place where you will see it. You know, we carry phones around with us everywhere, and if you're maybe a younger person, maybe an older person as well, you probably look at it 300 to 400 times a day. So that's a perfect opportunity to write the promise on your home screen so you see it every single time. You know, put it the backdrop on your phone. Make it a daily reminder to remember the promise. You know, put those words in front of you so you never forget it, so you never forget God's faithfulness for you. You know, the second thing to do in the middle is to silence the doubting voices. You know, what can be a source of doubt? What can be a doubting voice in your life? It could be fear. You know, it could be doubt. It could be lies of the past. It could be disappointments. It could even be other people. You know, we see in Numbers 13, 12 spies come home and 10 of them returned with doubt. You know, of the 12, 10 of them returned with doubt. But what did Caleb do? He interrupted. He cut it off. He didn't let them finish. He interrupted, called for silence and said, "Let's go up and take the land now, for we can do it." Because the reality is that the doubting voices aren't speaking the truth. You know, the next verse says that they spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. You know, nothing but rumors. You know, what fear, the role of fear and doubt in this account is that it caused the spies to move from their first report where they started, you know, with the facts. You know, everything that God told us about this land is true. We caught a sample and it's exactly the promise. But fear and doubt caused them to move from truth into untruth. You know, to their second report, full of lies, full of exaggerations. You know, spreading rumors, Chinese whispers. And every step of the way it becomes further and further from the truth. You know, they became so fixated on the obstacles that they saw in the way, so fixated on their fear and doubt that it became an exaggeration. You know, it went from spreading scary rumors and there being giants in the land to we were like grasshoppers to them, to we'd be better off going back to where we came from. You know, it became such an exaggeration because they kept circling and circling and circling on the doubt, on the fear, instead of pursuing truth. And you know, this morning, if you find yourself in this place of circling in doubt, circling in fear, the encouragement is that the word of God is sharper than any doubt. It's sharper than any fear. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting through soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You know, the word of God is alive. When you take the doubt, when you take the fear to the word of God, you know, it exposes those thoughts. It exposes those desires. And there's only place for truth. You know, I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth where you are right now, to change your trajectory. You know, this morning, this is a moment of healing for some people, a moment of realignment to walk in truth. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You know, God transforms the way we think. You know, when we get stuck in fear, when we get stuck in doubt, allow God to transform the way you think. You can't do it on your own. You can't just wake up tomorrow and decide, "I'm not going to be fearful anymore." We have to allow the Holy Spirit to process us and allow God to transform the way that we think. You know, we live in an information age. You know, social media is so prevalent. You know, you look at it every day. The statistics are quite frightening, so I won't tell you them because it is quite frightening. But information and opinion, it's everywhere that we look. You know, everywhere that you go, you're being told how to think. But is this a source of truth? And we all know the answer is no, but as much as we know that, sometimes we allow it to become a source of truth in our lives. You know, it's time that we silence the doubting voices and listen to the truth of God's word, what God is telling us, what he's promising us, what he's declaring over us. You know, Paul's encouragement to us in Philippians is, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." You know, that's a promise right there, that God's peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, if you find yourself being swept up in fear, being swept up in doubt, make this a promise that you declare over yourself every single day, that God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds. You know, it's so important that we place ourselves in the right environment, that we surround ourselves with the right people. You know, we saw in that account that of the 12 spies, 10 of them had doubts, and 2 of them declared the truth of God's word. You know, there's such power in surrounding yourself by the people that speak God's truth over you. Because can I encourage you that we aren't supposed to do life alone? You know, in the middle, when we're between receiving the promise and walking in it, can I encourage you to seek wise counsel? You know, are the people that you have around you, are they a Caleb or Joshua, or are they part of the crowd? You know, not everybody should have the opportunity to influence what you walk into. You know, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth in this. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 14 says, "People lose their way without wise leadership, but a nation succeeds and stands in victory when it has many good counselors to guide it." And Proverbs 15:22 says, "Your plans will fall apart right in front of you if you fail to get good advice. But if you first seek out multiple counselors, you'll watch your plans succeed." You know, the key in all of this is wisdom. You know, it's a seeking a wise counselor, not just a counselor, because there's counselors all around us. You know, there's always people that want to tell you what to do, what should be your next step. You know, I can help you solve that problem by doing 3 quick things and you'll be right out the other side. But the key is that we're seeking wise counsel, because we can't just accept the counsel of anybody. You know, those who will encourage, you know, those who understand your spiritual journey, that's so important. The people understand the journey that you're on. You know, so what is a wise counselor? How do we know if the counsel we're receiving is wise? You know, are they lining up what they're saying with the word of God, with the truth, or are they lining it up with their opinion? You know, every single time someone gives you advice that contradicts the word of God, then that's doubt. It's not truth. It's not right. It's not the truth. And can I encourage you that the Holy Spirit is our counselor as well? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to the word, to lead you to the truth and reveal knowledge, revelation knowledge from the word. You know, the word is alive. It's not just words on a page. It's alive, it's powerful, and it can speak to your situation. It can speak to where you are. Reveal the promise, reveal truth. And the other thing is that when we get stuck, because there's all moments where we find ourselves stuck, one of the best things we can do is to organize for a pastoral appointment. You know, God has placed people in our lives to help us through these seasons. You know, the opportunity is there. We need to take it. You know, and I can encourage you that, you know, our pastoral team, they'll point you to the word. They'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that. So in the middle of the promise, we can speak and walk in truth. Now, can I encourage you this morning that there's power when our speech and when our conviction is in alignment with the word of God. You know, Caleb in Numbers 13 says, "We can surely do it." You know, this isn't just bravado. You know, he's not just pumping up his muscles. He's not just flexing, but this is divine courage because it's spurred on by the promise. You know, what he saw was aligned with the promise. So it becomes a faith-filled confession. It's a declaration of faith. You know, as a church, one of our values is faith. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he is saying. You know, our faith aligns with what God is saying. You know, we're not just believing for things, but we're believing to see what God is saying. We're believing to see the promise. You know, it's not just about believing the impossible, but it's about declaring the word of God in faith, activating the word of God through our speech and through our actions. You know, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You know, what seeds do you plant with your words? It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You know, the seeds you plant with your words that you activate with faith, that's powerful. You know, you might not see the fruit of it today, but the seeds that we're planting, we can walk into the fruit of tomorrow. You know, what is your confession over yourself? What do you declare over your family, over those around you, your friends, your situation? You know, an example from my life of the power of the tongue is I was in high school and was sitting down with some friends at recess, and I turned to one of them. I think we were talking about like the future, like what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? And I said, if my parents told me that we were moving, it would ruin my life. And that's actually, that's what I said. Never say that, because you know I planted a seed with that word. Because what happened was 2 weeks later, Mum and Dad sat us down at the table, and it was like that never happened. Like this, it was serious. And I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna have another like brother or sister. But it was much worse than that because we were moving, and to all places to Kyabram, where I was born. There's Subway. There's not even McDonald's. So you know, at that point, you know, I declared that if my parents said that we were moving, it would ruin my life. So in that moment, it ruined my life. But that's the way that I'd set it up with my words. And you know, I learned such a powerful lesson through that season. And I thank God that we had 6 months to prepare for the move. Actually, it was longer. It was 9 months to prepare for the move, because through that season, I could allow the Holy Spirit to take me on a journey of processing the information. You know, getting a sample of what was to come. You know, little things that seem like coincidences that weren't, like meeting some kids from the youth group at a conference. And, you know, going and visiting and, you know, starting relationships before we even got there. And the most powerful moment for me was that the first Sunday after we'd moved in church, just the presence of God. It was like, this is home. This is what I know. God, you're so good. You know, it's so important that in the middle that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead the transition. To Holy Spirit to lead us in the process, not your soul. You know, I wanted to allow my soul to lead the transition, and I'd still be sad today because, you know, my life was ruined. But through allowing the Holy Spirit to process me, I left that place to the point that, you know, a month out from leaving, I was ready to go. It's like, let's go now. You know, God revealed more of the promise to me. Like, obviously, He was speaking to my parents, but I had to receive a glimpse of the promise as well. You know, in moving, I had such a desire to see young people raised up in Kyabram. It was like, God is incredible, the way that He works, the way that He processes us. You know, God's promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 says, "For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house." There's the promise. "Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you." You know, it's not easy to be bold. It's not easy to activate the word in faith. It takes courage. David had to find courage to pray the prayer. He had to find courage to even pray the prayer. But, you know, the Holy Spirit can give us courage. He can empower us. He can embolden us in activating the word. We don't have to do it alone. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you're having trouble declaring the word, activating the word, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." You know, we can be strong and courageous because God is with us. You know, we don't have to do it alone. And the last thing in the middle, when we're waiting for the promise, is to wait in preparation. You know, the waiting time isn't for nothing. The processing time isn't for nothing. The journey isn't for nothing. You know, in Numbers 13, we see that the scouts took 40 days to look at the land. And you know, in the Bible, 40 days is a symbolic time. It's a time of purification, of preparation. Now we see Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, a time of preparation. And you know, sometimes that time, that 40 days for us can feel like a lifetime. You know, we're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and God, you've revealed the promise, but when am I going to walk in it? But know that there is a purpose in the waiting. There's a purpose in the preparation. You know, allow God to bring revelation about your situation. You know, you don't need to rush. There is no rush. You know, if God promised it, it'll happen in the right timing. And we can trust God that it'll happen in the right timing. Because there's such beauty in the preparation. Allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us. Allowing yourself to be processed by the Holy Spirit. Seeking God for our next steps. You know, even Jesus had a time of preparation. You know, he didn't. 30 years of preparation for ministry. You'd think of all people, Jesus would be, you know, little child pastor. But there's a time of preparation. And you know, a question to ask in the waiting is, God, what is it that you want me to see? God, what is it that you're revealing to me? God, what is it that you're wanting to happen in this part of the journey, in this part of the process? Because timing is so important. God's timing is so important. You know, you can trust that you'll see the promise revealed in its fullness at the right time, at the right place. You know, so this morning, what is it that God is speaking to us? What is it that God's speaking to you? You know, God's speaking to me through this message this morning. You know, there's a couple of groups of people that God put on my heart this week just to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning. The first is that you don't know any promise. Like, you're not sure that God has promised you anything. You know, this morning I would encourage you to just start the conversation. You know, just allow the Holy Spirit to start revealing things to you. Start the process. And take heart that when God wants to reveal something to you, he will come at the right time. It'll happen at the right time. You know, you haven't missed out. It'll happen at the right time. God has promises for each of us. You know, if you find yourself circling in fear and doubt, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to process you this morning. Allow him to bring courage into your life, to activate the word, to bring truth, reveal truth in your situation, to silence the doubting voices. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring peace, to bring strength. And, you know, if you're on the journey, if you're in the waiting, you know, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. You know, regardless of where you're at in the promise, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. For those of you that are on the journey, you're walking into the promised land, I encourage you to keep going and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to reveal things to you. Continue to be bold and courageous. So the team's just going to lead us for a couple of minutes in worship, but I encourage you, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister, allow the Holy Spirit to process you this morning. Now, you don't need to rush. You can take our time this morning for the Holy Spirit to process.